To Ours is the Fury, episode 25, a quarter century.
It's our silver anniversary show. It's
25 weeks, guys.
Well,
we made it.
Who would have thought?
We're still here.
And the Fury played FC Edmonton at home, and we lost 2-0.
Tough loss.
On a bright side, you know, we've enabled FC Edmonton the possibility of still... making it to the postseason, so the Canadian team might make it.
You know what? Last week I said that I was cool with that, but now I'm just mad, so I take it back.
You have to give them credit. They played a good game. Edmonton did. Oh. Not Ottawa, yeah. No. Edmonton played a good game. They came to win, and they showed it.
Yeah, so the weather was pretty horrible. It wasn't that bad, but people were cold, and it was a little rainy.
A little windy.
Yeah.
He was knocking over the signs, and some of the kicks were going way off target.
Yeah, when you drink beer, like, your hands get very cold, and then you need to clap, and then your hands are so cold from the beer, and that pains me greatly.
Yeah.
So then I drink more beer.
But your insides are warm.
Yeah, and then
they're selling popcorn at the stadium, though, trying to warm people. It's like, I don't want popcorn, like, sell hot chocolate.
Yeah, the official chocolate partner.
Popcorn. Soggy, cold, wet popcorn.
The official chocolate partner of the Ottawa Fury is Lindt.
Yeah, I heard.
Do they have Lindt hot chocolate?
They do, outside, and I went there after the game, and I don't know, probably not in the stadium. I went there because it's the only store currently open in the whole development complex. Yeah, and it was delicious. They have, like, chocolate fountains and stuff.
Are you getting paid for this?
Yeah, actually, Lindt is a family business.
Are they only paying you, or are they paying all of us?
Only me, and it's chocolate coins.
So back to the game. What's the starting lineups?
We should say the attendance was almost 4,000.
Mm.
So do you guys believe this number?
I heard there's a lot of people on the second level. They weren't on the first level.
I looked up and it seemed like everyone was snuggled underneath the roof on the second level, but...
Apparently you don't get rained on up there as much.
I didn't really rain that much.
No.
I was decently surprised, though, with the amount of people looking around, because I'd expected it to be fairly low, just because it was one of those, like, crappy weather weekends where no one wanted to go out, so...
I wasn't expecting that large of a crowd for this game, especially because it was so cold and windy that day. But
yeah, I was a bit surprised. I thought it'd be a little more like the Atlanta game during the week, but it was a lot more than that.
But I've noticed even at Carlton, the crowds really come out for Edmonton.
Yeah.
More so than like Atlanta, Tampa Bay. I think they draw more.
Yeah, another Canadian team definitely has appeal. And I don't know if this is, like, in my mind, but I'm getting this feeling that the people that we are getting, there's a lot of regulars. Like, it used to be just people shopping around, like, looking at the stadium and just going out to see a game. But I see the same people over and over every time, so that's really good. Like, so we sort of have, like, a solid base of regulars.
Yeah, there's a base... There's a base of 4,000. I can never tell when anyone's going to talk. Yeah, there is a solid base of good 3,000-4,000 people. What they need to do is double that base, obviously, and to be in the upper parts of the league for attendance. Hopefully, they can figure out how to do that for next season.
Yeah, it's a good start. I guess it's not over yet, but it was a good first season, I think, attendance-wise.
Yeah, and the team has not... made an announcement or anything like that for renewing the season tickets yet, right?
Oh, it's weird because the Red Blacks have.
Yeah.
And a lot of the NASL teams have.
But our team hasn't.
Yeah.
Are they going to be here next year?
Well, that's the question.
No, I think...
No, they're going to be. Calm down, everyone. It's okay. It's okay.
I think they're... I feel like they're debating ticket prices. Because, like... I mean, the big news was halfway through the fall season, like, the supporters' tickets went down to $15. And they did say, like, yeah, we know tickets are too expensive. So maybe they're just debating ticket prices.
Yeah, I mean, to be completely honest, I'm quite happy that they haven't made that option available yet because I'm broke. So it's later.
Too many vacations.
Yeah, too many vacations. Really, it's a tough life.
I'd prefer if they didn't do it right during Christmas season, like they did last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it, yeah.
The payment plan was actually really good that they did offer. I was quite happy about that. That you could sort of delay your payments and then make them in installments. I thought that was. Quite clever and definitely took advantage of that.
Hopefully they reach out more to the 67s fan base and the Red Blacks fan base and or do combo packages or something. It shouldn't be hard to get 8,000 people to games.
Yeah, well, work in progress. Yeah. Anyway, let's get to the game. So we had Pizer in goal. Big surprise there.
That's something we should talk about later, though. But yeah.
Yes. We should talk about that later for sure. Not one of his greatest games. We can take that much away already. We had Woodbine as left back, Trafford and Jeroen as our center backs, and then Ryan Richter as our right back. Patterson, Ryan, and Donatelli as our midfielders. No Ubi again.
I know. That was awful.
Yeah.
For reasons that I will describe later.
And then we had Maillard and Davies on the wing, and Dantas starting as the forward because Heinemann was out with a
red card.
Yeah, or second yellow. Yeah, red card.
And Oliver is out because of his teeth got knocked in last game.
Yeah, he'll be out for the rest of the season, which we talked about last week.
Oh, that's true.
Hopefully we see him next year.
Yeah.
But that's another story altogether, too.
So, and then the start of the game was, like, super lethargic. Like I felt like Ottawa didn't care. Like, they looked really like, yeah, they're out of the postseason. So, like, they have nothing to play for. And they really looked like an unmotivated bunch. It was really upsetting.
There's definitely, you could definitely tell one team just went out of the playoff pitcher and one team is in the middle of the playoff pitcher.
Yeah.
In the first half hour of the game. Yeah, Edmonton came up super pumped and Ottawa was just flat.
And they weren't winning the 50-50 balls. Like Ottawa they'd get the ball and they'd hold on to it okay, but they weren't playing with that energy and they were not fighting for the ball when they didn't have the ball. Edmonton just pretty much got the run of the field every time they got the ball. So.
Yeah, it was very lackluster at the start of the game, which is very disappointing, you know, for fans, because we're paying a lot of money, we're making out there in shitty weather, like that's not what you want to see from your team, even though it really doesn't matter if they finish 7th or 6th in the NASL, it still does kind of matter on the day.
Yeah, you know they're out and you want to see them perform and you want to see professional soccer at the end of the day, that's why you're there, and I don't know if the level was there last game. Didn't feel like it.
Yeah. Well, second half got better, but first half for sure wasn't quite there. In the 9th minute, Edmonton scored their first goal. Blogsmith, you'd like to subscribe. Describe.
Describe?
Yeah.
Lance Lang, who's absolutely been incredible for Edmonton this year, and especially this fall season. I cross it over to Bert. I think it's his first and last name. Maybe just his last name.
Is it Brazilian?
And yeah, I just crossed it over and he's just able to get enough of it to put it past Pizer.
Yeah, so it was one of those passes that just, how do you call that? Like basically passing it behind the defense, right? You run all the way to the outline and then you pass it backwards and then, you know, basically catching the defenders off guard. It's one of the easiest way to beat the defense, but Bird finished it really well and Pizer had no chance on that, I would say.
No.
No, it's. I thought it was like going wide. That's what it looked like from the other side of the stadium.
I missed the goal. I was busy with some shenanigans in the stands, and like, I was like, did I miss something? Yeah, you just missed the goal. I was like, oh crap. But then I rewatched it, you know.
Well, they got the big board replay. You can feel the pain over and over.
Yes. And what a beautiful display it is.
Yes.
It's a nice feature, Al. It is a nice feature coming from Carlton, where there's like 1960 era scoreboard to a big Jumbotron where you can actually see the highlights.
I mean, the Jumbotron probably is more expensive than the entire pitch plus stadium at the Keith Harris.
So Edmonton was up early, and then we thought, oh, maybe Ottawa would rebound and react, but
nope.
They never did. And then what happened?
Happened was that in the 20th minute or so, there was a controversial corner, and like we've rewatched the scene a few times.
Like 20 times.
It's not quite clear to us from the camera angle if it went off Woodbine's knee or if it went off, who's the Edmonton player with the weird haircut?
With the Mohawk.
Lang? Or is it James?
Oh, it's James, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it went off him because...
I think it went off the Edmonton player, to be honest. It didn't look like it was...
Well, it was just the body language of him. Like, he tried to get the ball, and he couldn't catch it. So
physics-wise, it was pretty close, but it didn't react the way it would if Woodbine would have, like, kneed it. It didn't look like that was the reaction of the ball.
And then when the Edmonton player was coming back, he was, like, running back, like he was running back for the defensive for a goal kick. And then he saw the linesman, and then he started walking towards, if you watch the replay. And, like, Pizer had the ball ready for the goal kick. Everyone thought it was a goal kick.
Even the ball boy.
Yeah, even the ball boy.
So, and then what happened was Lang scored a corner kick directly. Patterson tried to clear it off the line, but I guess he's too short, or he mistimed it. And Pizer looked... totally lost watching the replay, at least.
Yeah, what do they call those? The Olympico? If you score directly from a corner?
In German, we call them banana kick.
Okay.
Banana kick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, corner seemed no fault on Patterson. He tried to head it, he jumped as high as he could. Yeah. He just couldn't get it. Pizer, on the other hand, kind of cheated towards the penalty spot a little bit and got caught. And probably, I'm assuming probably the wind kind of helped it in a little bit.
Yeah. And you can see in the replay, Pizer speculates that it's going to go, like, you know, at the edge of the 5-yard box, takes a step forward, and then the ball goes the complete opposite way, and he's caught out. And he looks over to Patterson and is quite angry at him. Like, he sort of blames him for it, but I don't think you can put
his side
on
of the net,
Patterson.
Though. It's just.
But the ball went into the center of the goal. Like the keeper, if the keeper just stays on the line, you know, he's got it.
He wasn't cheating if he would have stayed on this line.
Yeah.
Just one of those goals, like the goal against us in San Antonio from the free kick that just went directly in. Just those bad luck goals that seem to happen to us and only us.
So the game against Indy or Fort Lauderdale, would you throw Gorick back in just to like...
No, like keepers are only humans. They do make mistakes.
No, not because this last game wasn't the best for Pizer, but just like to
as a goodwill gesture towards
or like for next year. Like, do we know who we're keeping? Are we gonna have Gorick and Bush or Pizer and Bush or Gorick and Pizer? Like, I don't think we're gonna have four next year, right?
No, probably not. I mean, ideally, I'd like to see Gorick and Pizer stay and Chad Bush.
Yeah,
because
Chad Bush is
the DBE we know nothing about. And Chad Bush is a local Ottawa boy, which is nice.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they had somewhere to play. Like, if there was a reserve team or we could send them to FC Montreal or something.
Yeah.
Well, they did have, on Sunday, they had the Fury kind of, like, quote-unquote reserve team played in Montreal against Montreal's under-23 team.
Really? Well, that's interesting.
So, I mean, it's not an organized league or anything, but it's something. It would have been nice to go see. I think it was closed doors. It would have been nice to go see a game like that if they had it here.
So it wasn't a very violent game. I mean, there weren't a lot of yellows.
Nothing like the New York game.
No.
And I watched the New York-Minnesota game. And New York, they're just a dirty team.
Yeah, that game was 0-0 draw.
It was a boring game. Yeah. You'd think it'd be like a good game, but it was so boring.
But what I was going to say also was, even though there were so few yellows, there were a lot of good free kick opportunities for the Fury and a lot of horrible attempts. And that what made me think a little bit, besides that glorious Richie Ryan goal against Minnesota, was it? His free kick?
And a really bad one last week. But
yeah, besides that, how many goals have we scored from free kicks? Or have we scored?
I think just the one this fall season, anyway.
Well, I mean, from what I remember, the Tommy Heinemann goal against Edmonton, the last game at Carlton, was from a free kick, but it wasn't a direct.
It wasn't direct.
Yeah, but that's okay. They don't all have to be direct, but yeah, that's a good example. But like, it just frustrates me, like, as a fan, when I see a team, like a professional soccer team, it seems like no one can get, like, the ball on target.
Yeah, it's really good to get those on target. You're just essentially kicking out of bounds. But at least, like, give the goalie to make a mistake, kicking it over the net, or Meyer kicking in, like, the middle of the ball, it's looked like.
Yeah, Maillard kicked it in the middle of the wall, and then the other ones, there were three other ones or so, right?
I remember Ryan putting it over, I remember, I think Patterson put one over, and then I remember Maillard putting it into the wall.
Yeah, Maillard kicked it right into the wall.
Yeah, and the other ones were like just over, like they went over the wall, but also quite a bit over the goal. So.
Yeah, I think you pointed that out, that's really, really good point, that set pieces is something we could really improve on. Minnesota, they score more goals from set pieces than open play, which is, and they're top of the league by a mile, so that might be a very important piece to
the puzzle. I mean, I think we can all remember the early days of our penalty woes, of missing penalty after penalty.
Getting penalties, but missing penalties. But the first goal in franchise history was a penalty, right? The one at the indoor game against Syracuse?
Yes, yeah. Nicky Patterson.
Yeah. That's, well, the first, it was a preseason game, but it was special.
Does that count?
Counts to us.
First goal in history?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was that one in practice. That was really nice. Oh, yeah.
No, but speaking of practice, these, what are they called? Set kick? Oh, I can't think of it.
Set pieces.
English is my second language, listeners. No, but that's something that's really easy to practice, and you can really use that as a weapon. And like Ryan said, lots of teams do, like Minnesota, and it just seems like that's something that we're completely lacking. So for next year, I'm hoping that we have a player that's really good at free kicks, and that there's also more variety or something special. Like you could
More creativity.
More creativity. Yeah, thank you. That's the word.
Yeah, it might be just a product of being a new team, and that Mark Santos kind of has to concentrate a lot of his practice on like bonding team and getting them to play as a team instead of, you know, set pieces could be kind of pushed aside.
Yeah, it'll be tricky because we don't want a lot of turnover for next year because you want to build upon what you have, but at the same time you want to be able to grow from just like learning where everyone is and getting used to each other to doing these fancy plays for set pieces. Or, you know, you see it more with players have played together a longer time, you see more moves and stuff. So,
was there anything else in the first half?
No, it was terrible, and I was glad it was over when it was over. I think a lot of people like exhaled when the whistle went for the first half.
And to be fair, in the second half, it looked a little bit better what the Fury were doing, but the game was already over at halftime, right? Because when you're 2-0 down against Edmonton, a team that's almost impossible to score on to begin with, you're not going to be able to create many chances. And, you know, the Edmonton played it really smart. They sort of stopped attacking and parked the bus and were really deep and didn't, you know, use a lot of energy defending. and the Fury tried what they could, but like, how do you get through at that point?
Yeah, if you don't, I thought the game as a whole, I thought that, you know, Ottawa played their possession game. They had, I think they had a chance at Edmonton, but every chance after chance went wide, went high, right to the keeper. And I don't think Edmonton had that many chances, and they were just able to capitalize on them. And I think that's been kind of the Fury's problem for a few games this year, is that they've had a chance, but they can't finish, and they'd let a few chances go, and then the other team capitalizes.
Yeah.
I thought that the second half seemed more disorganized. Like, the first half seemed like low energy, but I think the second half, from the Fury, they had more energy, but I feel like it was kind of disorganized and not really, like, focused.
They're just throwing anything out there.
Yeah.
Trying it.
Yeah.
In terms of the substitutions, Howarth came for Davies in the 35th. We forgot to mention that for the first half. Was that a tactical decision,
yeah,
do you guys
early.
Think? Or...
Hope so.
I haven't heard injury, but...
But...
You're down 2-0 early.
For the striker.
And we never hear about injuries.
I don't think Davies had that great a game. Might as well throw Howarth on. Maybe mix something up.
And, then Ubi came for Patterson in the 57th minute, and, you know, it would have been nice to have Ubi on the pitch from the start.
I think he should have started for sure, because for me, the midfield should always be Ubi, Ryan, and Donatelli. I think that's the best combination that we have, and especially, like, Ubi and Donatelli, like, on the sides, they work together really well, and then Richie Ryan seems to be, like, really a good anchor in the middle, but... I don't know, and I'm not a huge Patterson fan.
No, so. I think we should be, like, clear about this. I think Patterson is the biggest disappointment from all the players of the season.
Well, I don't know about I think the biggest disappointments are gone from the team. But Patterson, yeah, there's high expectations, for
yeah.
sure.
Was he our first signing?
He was
yeah.
our first signing. I believe he was USL Player of the Year last year for Charleston.
First franchise goal.
First French, well, and you know, and he was looking to be really the face of the team from the start, but you know, it's tough though.
You
got injured. He was out for the first half of the season, like.
Oh,
how long is this fall season? How many games? Like
18.
18 games. I don't know. Like I wouldn't say it's. I wouldn't say he's the biggest disappointment. Disappointment, yes, but I think. He still has a lot of good years.
No, and I'm not. I want to be clear. Like, I'm not blaming the player. I'm just saying what we were hoping to get from him, like, was very far away from what
well,
we actually got.
Like, the way he was hyped and stuff, we're kind of expecting a franchise player, right? Like, a midfielder that carries the team.
Yeah.
And
an international midfielder.
Yeah.
As well.
Too. Yeah, and he's taken an international spot, so there's always more expectations there.
Hopefully, you know, I think he has a lot of potential. Maybe he'll stick around and he can prove us all wrong.
I definitely think he's more than good enough to play in this league, for sure.
Yeah.
So I don't think we've seen the best of Nicky Patterson. And I don't know.
I mean, he did have that injury. I don't know how severe it is and how much it hampered him early on.
Or maybe still hampering him.
We don't
know.
But, yeah, I do agree with John that he's been kind of, at best, invisible, and you know, at worst, happens to give up a lot of balls away in the midfield. And I do agree with Kendra that Ubi, Ryan, and Donatelli are definitely our three strongest mids.
Yeah, and then another curious substitution was Soria for Giroud. Did you guys tactically? Did you interpret that as a center back for center back? Just sort of like the game's over, I'm going to put Soria on and save Omar for
younger Roa. Guy, fresh legs, more pace.
Yeah.
Like, Soria's got a lot.
But Edmonton wasn't really attacking at that point, so, like...
It's nice seeing Soria. Did he go into the center back slot? I didn't notice.
Yeah.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, and that's more naturally his position, too, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's nice to see him there.
Actually, I did look at the subs bench, but I don't... Just trying to think about who they would have thrown on. As kind of an offensive
Yeah, that's
catalyst.
A good point. There
wasn't, yeah.
Hamza Elias. Oh, wait.
No, you couldn't make the game.
No, but Soria also, like, he also pushes forward a lot. So, I mean, that helps too. But
yeah, and Woodbine was doing that coming in again. His pace is amazing. Woodbine, he's up and down the wing.
Yeah.
We've mentioned
he's
that
been
last week.
He's been absolutely great. I mean, considering he's coming to a brand new team and he hasn't played for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very excited to see him, you know, train with the team a lot, kind of, and come along and see how well he can do next year. He's a very exciting player.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to see him in a Fury jersey next year.
Mm-hmm.
Be great.
We should also discuss Dantas' performance. He got the opportunity to start. We've been calling for it, or at least one of us has. Locksmith, what do you think?
It was nice to see him start. I thought he had a pretty good game. I thought he was able to control the ball, and he was able. They called him the man of the match. I don't know if that's really accurate, but he did rather well. He missed some chances he probably should have put in.
One thing that Ryan and I discussed while watching the game was, like, we noticed that he gets very easily frustrated. When something doesn't work out, like, you can just see he gets so annoyed, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that has a positive or negative effect on his game, but it's just noticeable. Like, he's
passionate.
Yeah. No, but honestly, like, it can be interpreted both ways, right? It could be, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, that hampers his concentration and, like, low confidence, but it could also be, you know, he's more aggressive and he's going to try even harder next time, so...
He also got punched in the face, right?
Yes.
Did you see that?
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, no one caught that. The ref never caught that. He was coming in into the Edmonton box. This was in the first half. Yeah, it was in the first half. And he was running in, and the cross was coming in. And he would have been right where the cross was, but he happened to get punched in the face about a second before.
It happened to get punched.
Yeah. It was one of those, like, I can't show you guys because this is a podcast. It was one of those rugby tackles where you sort of, like, you put your
open
palm
hand,
of your face into the
guy's face.
Oh, the stiff arm.
Yes.
That's what it looked like.
But it was right into the front of his face. And he got a little thrown off, and there was a lot of chirping on the field you could see and everything. And then later on in the match, someone got that. I think it was number 4 for Edmonton, the defender. But later on in the match, someone got him good, and the ref never caught it either. He got an elbow in the back or something, and he fell like a ton of bricks. So
speaking
of interesting
the
side story. Yeah.
Speaking of the ref, like, did a decent job, eh?
A lot better than last week.
Yeah.
Someone in our section said, like, oh, man, this ref is terrible. And inside I was just like, you didn't see the one last week, man. Like, oh, my.
Yeah, I guess compared to the New York game, it's like you could have put a pile on there and would have done a better job.
Yeah, he was, I guess, quote-unquote better, but it was kind of an easier game to call. I mean, it wasn't rough in any way. He did make some mistakes. I remember is Richie Ryan pulling an Edmonton guy down in the box later in the late game. That was probably pretty sure a penalty.
Yeah, we got away with some for sure.
And the corner kick they scored in the second goal.
Yeah, that was a bad call by the linesman.
But overall, it was good.
Yeah, I was watching NASL refereeing altogether. It's pretty bad. What game was I watching? Indy and San Antonio this week? I think that was this week. And then one guy, he grabs his shirt, pulls him around him, and pulls him down, and then runs away with the ball. No foul. I'm just like, wow.
It's NASL, really. It's a mixture of hockey and soccer at the same time.
I know soccer in North America is a little more rougher, a little more physical. Players always say that when they come here. But it's the NASL is like a whole nother level of rowdy, you know.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to see it a little cleaned up.
Yeah, but that Dantas missed bicycle kick where he hit Watson in the nose, broke his nose open. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's a rough league. Like, teeth knocked out, everything.
Yeah, maybe that dig a hole and bury him chant after breaking the nose was a little inappropriate.
Yeah. There's a lot of those chants that are a little inappropriate. Yeah.
But overall, I mean, we didn't work FC Edmonton too hard. They're not going to be totally exhausted after this match. They got to win.
You're cheering for them, aren't you?
No, I'm not cheering for them, but
I think you are.
No, at the beginning of the podcast, I always wanted, you know, the Fury to be better than Indy and better than Edmonton. But if there's one other team that I want to do, like I want to see do well, it's like just the other Canadian
New York
team.
Cosmos.
No, the Cosmos I hate the freaking most. But yeah. So here's a gift, FC Edmonton. You know, you better,
better cherish it.
Exactly. There has to be something good that came out of it. A Canadian team, you know, making the final in the soccer bowl. That'd be nice.
Or win the soccer bowl.
That'd be even better, but I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah, 1 in 4 chance.
I'm still mad at them, but maybe my tune will change when the playoffs start. But I'm still mad.
So let's forget this game.
Yeah.
And put it behind us and worry about Indy on Sunday.
More fun stuff to come. Let's take a break.
Use it.
Welcome back, guys. So we asked a question on Twitter. It was, what is your perfect Fury starting lineup? And we do have to say this week the contributions were a little bit less than what we've gotten used to. So, guys, we're still
Step
on Twitter
up.
At AquaFury. interact with us because, you know, we love hearing from you guys. So, Matt Hawkins, who is at mhawken2, said he would like to see Pizer, Soria, Trafford, Becky, Woodbine, Ryan, Davies, Ubi, Oliver, Dantas, Haworth. How many players is that? One,
that's
two,
that's
three.
11.
That's 11. That's good. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with most of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You agree with it, but there's no Donatelli in there.
Yeah.
I said most of it.
I know, but Ryan's favorite player is Donatelli, so I'm confused by that.
Yeah, well, he hasn't been playing as well in the second half.
That's because he doesn't play with Ubi.
Right.
That's the reason. Seriously, if as soon as those two are together, things start happening.
And Namu tweeted in. He said a lineup that has Haworth in it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we're always happy to see Haworth.
We like him too. I fully agree. I like seeing him up there.
So. He always gives it 100%. But it's soccer cliche. Like when he comes in, you know he's gonna work his ass off. It's nice.
Yeah. I like, and of course Oliver, too. I like those two. If you put those two on the sides with like Dantas in the middle, wow. Speedy wingers and big guy in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, being who would be yours, John?
Well, pretty
put
much
on the spot.
Yeah. Sure. I do like the Trafford Becky central back pairing, but I do think that Jeroen has something to add. So I would probably sub in Jeroen later on.
It's a physical presence.
Yeah, and he can go forward and, you know, head like a ball in from a corner, that kind of thing. Pizer is keeper for sure. I like, you know what, this is a pretty good lineup that Matthew has there, because I like that he uses Soria and Woodbine. Because I like both of them better than Richie Ryan. Ryan Richter. Sorry, I always confuse
who
the two.
Who has completely improved, eh? We were really harsh on him earlier.
Yeah, but, you know, he's a TFC player, so, like, I can't be that in love with him.
Oh, through no fault of his own.
No, it's not his fault,
sorry,
but, like,
Ryan
Richter. Yeah, and then, for me also, the Ubi, Richie Ryan, Donatelli is the dream lineup for me. I wouldn't put Davies there. And then I love the Oliver Dantas Haworth thing. The only thing I would be a little concerned about is them tracking back, because that's a very offensive lineup.
That's why you got defenders.
But Soria and Woodbine are always back there and always ready to track backwards as well.
Yeah, but defending starts at the very top, and like these guys, they're all so offensive minded.
Yeah, how about you, Blocksmith? What do you have?
Okay, Heiser.
Okay.
Woodbine. Trafford. Jeroen. Becky. Ryan. Donatelli. Ubi.
Ooh.
And Dontus Hayworth. Oliver.
Wow. I almost have to fully agree with you. My only tweak, the keepers, I would rotate the keepers. I think it's important to give the younger players playing time. I know you want to go with your best keeper all the time. But I think like games like the next two. But I would like Gorick, Pizer, mostly Pizer, some Gorick in there. And for the back line, I would put Soria in center back. So let's start from the left. Go Woodbine, Soria, Trafford. Trafford and who on the right? Let's see.
Jeroen or Becky?
No, Richter.
I'd go Richter. Okay. And then the middle's all completely decided. It's Donatelli, of course. Ryan in the middle and Ubi. And the forwards, yeah, Oliver, Dontus. And I'd switch Dontus and Heinemann out, like 60th minute kind of thing. And Haworth. Yeah. Let's play manager.
I'm gonna go with Gorick, actually, as the goalie. And then for the back line, I would say I really think it should always be Soria, Trafford, Becky, Woodbine, always. And the middle is easy, of course. It would be Parapovic, Ryan, Donatelli. And then in the front, I guess Oliver, Dontus Hayworth.
Have we ever seen that combo? We all said it. All four of us said it. But have we ever seen that combo together?
I don't think so, because they always play Heinemann.
Yeah, but has Oliver Haworth been on the two sides?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Didn't they start against Cosmos? Or was that Maird? I can't remember.
No, it was Heinemann at the Cosmos. I think Atlanta, the Atlanta game here a few weeks back, was Dontus Hayworth Oliver.
See, we wouldn't do this. If we had, like, if FIFA had NESL in it, we would just do this on our own time.
Oh, we could play Football Manager. I'm sure there is some kind of...
We can put the whole league in.
Yeah, it was a great side project because I have nothing else to do. But yeah, the one thing I'm concerned about, Ryan, that you mentioned was like swapping the goalkeepers, because it's so like what's not traditionally done in soccer.
Yeah.
Right? Like you just don't swap the keeper.
You
because
just keep the same one.
I don't know even why. It's just one of those unwritten rules. Like apparently it really screws up the defense. Like
they're used to having one guy yell out.
Yeah.
And they hear this other voice yelling out.
But then again, it's being done more and more in Spain, right? I don't know, we shouldn't talk about Europe too much, but the Spanish teams, they will have one goalkeeper for like the Champions League and the domestic cups.
Chelsea has not been doing it. Has it been the same goalkeeper all year?
Yes, except when he got hit in the head and their backup keeper, Peter Cech, had to come in.
Imagine having Peter Cech as your backup.
Seriously.
Keeper.
I'm like, oh, I guess we need our backup.
Well,
Peter
my
Cech.
Point was that in regular competition, they will use one keeper, and then in the cups, they will use another.
Yeah.
It's kind of trendy right now, but it's new to soccer.
So when we make our big Champions League run after winning the Voyagers Cup, I do the 2016 Champions League run, we can do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Big news today was Raul has finally signed for the New York Cosmos. So if we're lucky, we get to see the 37-year-old shadow of a former self superstar.
Who wrote in the show notes roster thaw?
Where's that?
That was me.
Yeah,
although I don't believe he'll be playing in the next two games.
Yeah, so he's signed for next year.
And the year after, apparently, it's a multi-year deal.
No, he'll be dead in 2 years.
No, the idea
in
is
New York. Oh yeah,
he's going to be a youth coach for the Cosmos as well as play a little bit for the prestige, I guess.
For the prestige of the Cosmos. Oh, of the Cosmos.
Do you think this is like the beginning of the end of the NESL? Like it's you got these guys they coming over to played in the Middle East last year, like Raul, 37 years old, coming like only for the lure of New York and money, obviously. He's not coming here to further his career any, and he could play in a lot of other places probably. Like,
I think it helps in building the profile of the league. I mean, you kind of see it with the Indian Premier League right now, right? Like they have these like really old players, Yeah. And they're really just interested in the publicity and just be like, look, there's this league that you didn't know about yet, and it's signing these players that you all know about. So it's giving the league some attention. And it's kind of neat to see, like, I personally, I never saw Raul play. It's kind of neat to, you know, see him like, in your own stadium.
Yeah, that's why I go to old timers games, you know, and I just...
You
I
mean
just,
you're playing them.
I play, yeah, I'm playing them too. But, yeah, I don't know. I just, I'm not that excited about more and more of this happening. I'd like to see
less. Yeah, we definitely don't want the league to be, like, the retirement home for... You know,
yeah,
old stars.
Like, but. One geezer on every team. Like, I just... You know, MLS has the DP rule. We'll have the geezer rule, where every team gets one international geezer.
I mean, yeah, it does kind of lift the ASL publicity a little. But, oh, yeah, the, I mean, you're sticking Marco Senna, who's 38.
Yeah,
Marco Senna. With Raul, who's now 37.
Which you can't is, be a counter-attacking team. Yeah.
That's why they pull on shirts. And
it must be tough playing because it's all they're all physical. It's a physical league.
Yeah, very physical league. I told one of my friends who only watches Serie A today, and I told him about this, and he does know a little bit about this La Liga too. So, but he was like, he still plays. That like he was like being sincere. He's like, really, he still plays?
Yeah. Well, I think he went to Schalke in 2010, which actually I should really hate him because, you know, they're the big rivals.
Well, and you should hate him because he's on the Cosmos now, too.
Yeah, and then after his 2 years at Schalke, he went to the Emirates or Dubai or something. I can't remember.
Qatar,
well, one of them.
The best league in the world.
He was actually the academy coach for them as well. So,
well, he's working.
It appears so he wants to coach.
So, you know, like to bring this discussion to a conclusion, I still think it's good that at least some team is investing a bunch of money and bringing some stars. I know they're not current stars, but former stars into this league. And there's going to be a new team in the NASL, Jacksonville Armada FC?
Armada,
okay.
The boats.
I don't know what an armada is.
It's a bunch of boats.
Bunch of boats.
Oh, I
going to attack
a
you.
Bunch of yachts, right?
Yes, yachts.
Rich kid. And they're going to unveil their very first player in club history. Probably already have by the time you listen to this podcast. Pretty excited to see who it might be.
Yeah. I guess the possibilities are almost endless.
I imagine it'll be an American player, someone connected to the club, like or someone connected to the area. I don't think it'll be Kaká. He's signed for Orlando.
So many Florida teams.
It definitely won't be Raul.
There is a lot of Florida teams now, eh? Like Jacksonville, Orlando, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it Fort used Lauderdale. To be empty practically, and now it's full.
Well, the stands are still empty.
That's true.
Or Orlando, they averaged over 10,000.
The Beckham... Miami deal is still floating around.
It'll never happen. Never happen. Yeah, a lot of soccer going on in Florida. They have more teams in Florida than they do in Canada.
Oh yeah,
not quite.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, professional teams like top two division. Do they have teams in the USL Pro? I'm not sure if anyone would.
They did. They had they had a Tampa team in USL Pro, but it went bust.
And Orlando.
Yeah.
Right. Orlando's MLS now though. Like in my head, they're already MLS. Yeah. Speaking
so get on it, Tallahassee.
Yeah. We need more Florida teams in this league.
Yeah, all Florida league.
We can have a Canada division, 1A, and then the Florida division and the regular NASL.
Oh no. So what else is happening in around the league? There's playoff hunts getting pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So who can make the playoffs still?
Okay, Minnesota. Okay, won the spring season already, and they clinched number one. They can clinch the fall season this week, I believe. San Antonio's clinched. New York is clinched. And Fort Lauderdale, Edmonton, and Carolina are all kind of vying for the last spot. Edmonton's playing Fort Lauderdale this week coming. And if Edmonton wins, that game and their next game, they automatically qualify.
So is it still, like, anybody's spot to take for the last three? Like, for Lauderdale, FC Edmonton, Carolina?
Yeah.
Like, anybody can take that, eh?
Yeah, there's only... Carolina and FC Edmonton both have 34 points.
Don't bet your mortgage on Carolina making...
No, Carolina is the outside bet for sure. And Fort Lauderdale is only 2 points ahead of those two teams with 36 points. So there's still 6 points up for grabs, only 2 points between those three teams. It's amazing. It's exciting. And they're playing each other, too. And then Ottawa's playing Fort Lauderdale last game of the season. Yeah. So, Edmonton, you better be nice to us.
Yeah, we'll give them another gift. But it speaks for like how small the league is, because Fort Lauderdale Strikers, they really were an average team this season, right? And that they're still in such a good position for the playoffs really speaks to that, you know, it can't be that hard to make the playoffs in this league.
And Edmonton had such a bad spring season too, right? Like, weren't we ahead of Edmonton?
Yeah, they were ninth, and Indy was last.
Yeah, and now Edmonton's... you know, 2 points out of a playoff spot with 6 points to go.
Yeah.
So anything can happen. And next year, it looks like there will only be 11 teams in the league. And it'll be the same kind of situation, probably.
Yeah, we're not quite sure what the schedule is going to be like. I don't think it's been announced. But, man, if Minnesota doesn't win the soccer bowl, it would be so undeserved, right? Like, if there's one team that deserves to take it, it's them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they won. The spring, they're pretty much won the fall. They're number one seed, and then.
But they've been faulting lately. Mm-hmm. Like, they lost to Indy.
That's true.
And
but
like,
they have like three losses total.
I know, and they've all been recent.
That's ridiculous. Three losses total in both seasons.
That's amazing. They're a good team. They're.
And they probably wouldn't have lost the last couple if they still had to win. They're just taking it easy, preparing for the playoffs, probably.
Yeah, you know that game against That's New York true. I watched, that they weren't going full out. And Indy is a much improved side. They've been slowly adding players, tweaking the roster, getting better and better every game. So this isn't the Indy team we saw before. This Indy team's a lot better than 2 times we've already played them.
Yeah, I don't think the league wants to see a Carolina New York Cosmo final.
No. All right. And the whole tournament's taking place in Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
The one seed plays the fourth seed at home, the second seed plays the third seed at home, and then whoever's the highest seed of the two teams.
Oh, the soccer ball is not necessarily in Minnesota.
No.
Oh, okay. So it's a little different this year.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's better. At the same time, though, it makes it hard for away fans. But
speaking of away fans, do you think we're going to see any of those passionate Indy fans going all the way to Ottawa?
I think it's a possibility. They're the second closest club to us, I think. New York's, what, 8-9 hours away? And I drove from Indiana once to Ottawa. I think it was 12-13 hours. The drive? It wasn't from Indianapolis, so it was like from Gary, Indiana.
Ooh.
Yeah, nice town. Nice town. But yeah. I don't know. I think if we saw some Cosmos fans, hopefully we'll see some Indy 11 fans.
Yeah, they seem to be really down with their team.
Yeah, And a Converse are on sale here in Ottawa, so
what?
This is another corporate message that we can put into our podcast. There may be a new outlet mall.
Yeah, if you're listening to us from Indy, awesome. And wears warm clothing.
Yeah, it was -1 this morning.
It's going to be
cold.
Ottawa.
It's going to be cold this weekend, and that's how we like it. So.
Yeah, because it is the first time that the Indy are coming to Ottawa. I don't know if we mentioned that already.
Yeah. Hopefully they don't wear those god-awful jerseys they've had on last
camo
game.
Jerseys? I like those.
You like
those?
Jerseys.
Their regular jerseys are the nicest in the league. But these jerseys the last couple weeks. But they have a good lineup, too. Like I said earlier, they're slowly adding pieces. Like Cleverson, which you know John knows. John's related to.
Yeah, I'm related to everybody who
every
used
German.
To play soccer in Europe.
Related to every German in Germany. Ambersley, which we know, smart American, great player. They also got a guy from the MLS recently, right?
Yeah, the Galaxy, Charlie Rugg. He's done really well. I mean, Indy was kind of, experimenting with formations, and I think for the most part through the spring they're playing a 4-5-1, and recently they kind of moved to a two striker formation, like a 4-4-2. I think last game
they played. It took them damn long enough to figure this one out. Hey?
And they kind of moved to a 4-2-2 or a 4-2-4 in the last game where they beat Minnesota.
They beat Minnesota 2-0 at home. Yeah, and they beat San Antonio the week after. Yeah.
So like Edmonton, we just kind of run into those teams that are really hot. And yeah, it's not going to be the walkover we thought it was, you know, 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, I was looking at the last few games of the season during the spring break. And I was like, oh, at least we'll win those games. Edmonton, Indy, Fort Lauderdale. Like, oh, we got 9 points at the end of the season. Now it's like, oh, maybe not.
Yeah.
But this is our last home game. So I really hope that, like, it's a really good show. Like, it's going to be the last time we have a soccer party at TD Place this year. And so, like, I really hope that it's a good matchup and it's an entertaining game and that, like, our team comes out and really wants to win and, like, really puts their heart into it. That's all I'm hoping for next week.
Plus, nobody wants to be the worst, right? So whoever loses this has a good chance of being worse than the other team. So
we can still finish last.
What?
That is still a possibility.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, if we lose the next two matches.
Oh, in the fall season.
No, combined.
Combined?
Yeah.
Oh, we're only 3 points up.
Yeah, we're only three points ahead of Indy and Atlanta, so.
Wow.
Currently they have terrible goal differences. Indy has -12, and Silverbacks actually have -15.
How about Atlanta, eh? Atlanta played in the Soccer Bowl last year, and this year, what, they have 6 wins all season, both spring and fall? That's amazing. And a -15 goal differential. That's you, New York Cosmos, next year. Last place.
And that's something else to play for. Maybe Ottawa can have a positive goal differential, you know? Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. Nice.
Yeah.
They're only -3.
Yeah.
It'd also be nice to see multiple wins at TD Place.
Yeah, we only won 1 out of 8 home games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
9 if you include the Rangers game.
That game didn't happen. That wasn't real.
No.
That wasn't a real game.
I don't know what I was talking about.
Yeah, so it should be a good match. As always, supporters tickets are available from the Bytown Boys and Stony Monday Ride. So if you contact either group on Twitter, secure a ticket. They're only $15, and
we might also be running a contest because I will actually miss the next Fury game. So I'm gonna give that ticket away to a deserving fan.
We'll give away John's ticket. So it's going to be on our Twitter, on @OttawaFury. We don't give away John's ticket. We're not.
Skill testing question. Whoever answers first gets the ticket, something like that.
Whoever burns a Montreal Impact or Toronto FC jersey and proves it. Gets,
brings us the ashes.
Brings us the ashes. Gets a ticket.
And
that's your idea.
I believe Kendra interviewed Drew Becky, so you will probably have that up on the Stony Monday Ride blog, I assume, soon, Kendra.
Yeah, hopefully later this week, as long as I get enough time to do it. Yeah, I sat down with Drew Becky like a couple days ago, so watch the Stony Monday Riot blog for that. It should be up in the next couple of days.
Yeah, it's any articles coming out anywhere?
Metro, check the Metro on Fridays.
I highly enjoy OFFC review.
From Namu?
Yeah, from Namu. It's just @OFFCReview on Twitter, and it links to his articles. Yeah, it's always good stuff. Very detailed.
Yeah. I got nothing this week in terms of plugging things, so I think we can wrap this up. Thanks, guys, for listening. As we said, our Twitter handle is @OttawaFury. Check us out. Do people want a Facebook page? I could make a Facebook page if people are up for that. Let us know. On Twitter.
Let us know on Twitter if you want a Facebook page.
So if you don't have Twitter, make a Twitter account and tweet to us that you want a Facebook page. If anyone does that, I will make a Facebook page.
Cool. MySpace page?
MySpace?
Friendster.
It's gone now.
Oh.
I had to, they emailed me and let me know. Okay. See you guys next week.
Toodles. See you next week, guys.
Bye. Thank you. How about some tips for any indie fans that might be coming up this weekend?
Well, you got to wear warm clothing.
Remember to leave your guns and smoke bombs at home.
Maple syrup is not nearly as cheap as you think it is.
I think if the signs are French, you've gone too far.
No pitch invasions, okay? We got a new pitch.
Despite what you hear in the stands, we do pay for healthcare.